Hello, thank you for joining us for today's webinar. We will start in a few minutes.
Very good. Thank you, Stefan. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I am Amy Walton, and I am here with my colleagues from the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. You just heard from Stefan Robila. Alan Sussman, Tefik Kofsar, and Rob Beverly are also from the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. But I also noticed that many of our colleagues from around the foundation, such as Daryl Hess, Nigel Sharp, Joe Culbertson, and Joe Whitmire are also joining us and will be part of this activity for the Q&A that we'll have later in this session. So welcome everyone, and in this webinar we're going to provide a brief overview of the CSSI program. I'll do the first few charts on that, and then Stefan will be just mentioning some of the most important things that you need to know about submitting a proposal. So if we may move to the next chart, what you will see now is the, again, the purpose of this webinar today is to orient the research community to this solicitation, to summarize the changes to the program and the review criteria, to answer any questions that you may have. And our goal is to help you improve your understanding of this program. And if it's appropriate, if you decide to participate, to help you improve the quality of the proposals. So the last three bullets are the outline of the activities we'll discuss today. First, for the first nine slides, I'll be doing an overview of the CSSI program, how it's changed, and what we focus upon. Then the majority of the slides Stefan will speak to, it will be an overview of this year's solicitation, NSF 20-9592. And then the second half of this hour-long webinar, we plan to take questions from all of you, the webinar participants. Now, in this Zoom session, there's a couple of ways to have questions. One is through the chat function, but there is a Q&A function, and we might suggest that many of your questions are likely to be answered as we go through these slides. So you might want to wait with questions, but if there's something that really was confusing to you, certainly feel free to put your questions on the Q&A feature in Zoom. We'd also like to let you know that a recording of this webinar will be available on the program page of our CSSI program. So let's go to the next slide. What I'm going to do now is to begin by talking about the CSSI program. Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation focuses on supporting robust, reliable, and sustainable data and software cyber infrastructure that will support and advance sustained scientific innovation and discovery. Bottom line, the proposals are strongly encouraged to describe their approach to data management and to quality software development through a defined software engineering process that includes software testing and the appropriate use and analysis of tools and capabilities. Let's go ahead and move to the next slide. What I'd like to do here is to talk briefly about the changes from prior solicitations. First and foremost, you'll see that the program description has been updated to emphasize that this solicitation welcomes two of the potential types of proposals, elements and framework implementations. A second change is that a general consideration section has been added to help clarify what are the common characteristics of these CSSI proposals and projects. What kinds of things are we looking for across the various disciplines? A third thing is that the CSSI guiding principles translate almost one for one into solicitation specific criteria. But in this year, what we've done is to group them into three themes to help you address them as well as to aid in the review process. So the proposal preparation instructions and the merit review principles and criteria have been revised to reflect these changes and these groupings. Next, the section summarizing priorities for the collaborating NSF directorates and divisions has been updated for 2021. So areas of emphasis in prior years may be the same, but they also, many of them have changed as well. So this is something that you'll need to be sure and look at those updates. And then finally, if proposals include requests for cloud computing resources through Cloud Bank, the details of how this should be addressed in the proposals have been added to the solicitation. And Stefan will speak about that a little bit at the end of his works. So moving to the next slide. Again, to reiterate, there are two types of awards that we will be seeking in this solicitation. Elements projects basically support small groups that will develop and deploy robust software and data capabilities for which there's a demonstrated need and that will advance one or more significant areas of science and engineering. The second area is framework implementations. These are targeting larger interdisciplinary teams that are organized around the development and application of common software and data infrastructure that would be aimed at solving common research problems faced by NSF researchers in one or more areas of science and engineering. So then the final column on this page, you'll see the sizes of the awards. Obviously, elements are somewhat more focused, so smaller. They're not to exceed a total of $600,000 and 3 years duration. So that's up to $200,000 per year. Framework implementations are larger. They can range from $200,000 to $1 million per year and can be 3 to 5 years in duration. Note that these are total budget numbers for projects, and that could include multiple collaborative proposals. But I would emphasize here that projects in the upper portion of either of these ranges must be exceptional in terms of scientific impact, and as with all proposals, should be discussed with program officers from the divisions that fund the research that is being impacted. So proposed funding amounts should be commensurate with the work that's being proposed and the size of the community that will be affected and the level of the impact that's anticipated. So again, it should reflect, a large budget should reflect large benefits. So moving to the next slide, we talked briefly about eligibility and limits on the number of proposals per PI or COI or senior personnel. Only three kinds of organizations may submit proposals, universities and colleges. Second category is the not-for-profit, non-academic organizations. And then finally, FFRDCs are federally funded research and development centers, although many different organizations, government organizations have or support FFRDCs. We're looking for NSF-sponsored FFRDC participation. But again, they may apply, but that any activities that they apply for May not be included, may not include costs for which the federal funds have already been awarded or are expected to be awarded for other FFRDC activities. Moving to the other topic, how many proposals may a PI or a co-PI or a senior personnel participate in? One. That's across all categories of proposals for this award deadline. So in the event that any individual exceeds this one proposal limit, any proposal that is submitted to the solicitation with this individual listed as a PI or a co-PI or senior personnel after the first proposal is received, NSF will return those later proposals without review. No exceptions will be made. And you can see the details in the solicitation. So moving to the next topic, within NSF, the CSSI program is a cross-cutting program, and it's enabled by collaborations of divisions and offices throughout the NSF and its many directorates. These are the organizations that are listed as participants, and although the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, from which Stefan and I and Tefik and Alan and Rob come, is the place where solicitations will be sent, each of the directorates, divisions, and offices have designated representatives that will be serving as points of contact for the solicitation. And you can find a list of these representatives by accessing the program page or by looking for the solicitation document. The web link is listed at the bottom, but if you go on Google and mention NSF20-592, of the 4,500 listings, certainly everything on the first page is this solicitation. So it should be fairly easy to find. Okay, moving to the next slight change in topic. What kinds of things does the Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation look for? There is a group of six different aspects or attributes that we look for in proposals. And this is an area where your proposal will need to speak to each of these activities. So obviously, first up, the project has to be science-driven. It somehow needs to promote science excellence or enable fundamentally new scientific advances or benefit science and engineering communities beyond the participating communities. A second attribute is that the project needs to be innovative. That can have a wide range of definitions, but emphasizing unique NSF contributions, whether you're building the capability or capacity or cohesiveness of a national cyber infrastructure ecosystem, but basically considering both the human and technical aspects of what you're developing in the way of cyber infrastructure. The projects need to be collaborative. It's looking for partnerships and community development that actively engages both cyber infrastructure experts or specialists and scientists working in the fields with the domain scientists who will be the main users of this cyber infrastructure. Another area is leveraging, is that don't start from scratch. They're building on existing or recognized capabilities. The project has to be strategic, and what that means is that the proposals will need to include management plans and metrics that show how they would encourage measurement of progress and how they would share the results. So you'll see that there's an awful lot of quantitative clear metrics that are needed in this attribute. And then finally, the project somehow needs to be sustained beyond the life of the award. Somehow it would continue to provide benefits beyond participants in this award, the lifetime of the award, and would result in some widely accessible long-term community cyber infrastructure or capability. And so then this is my final slide before I turn it over to Stefan. But again, let me reiterate that each of the directorates has looked at and included a specific list of priorities at the division or office level across the various directorates. And we're not going to read through those here, but please look at the solicitation, because while some of the areas may be similar to previous solicitations, others have definitely changed. And so the brightly colored words at the bottom of this slide, we strongly recommend that you discuss your ideas with the appropriate directors after emailing them a one-page summary of your idea. Getting feedback now will save you 90 days of very hard work that may or may not be appropriate to the solicitation. So please look for your feedback as you are going through this process. So thank you for your time, but I will now turn the presentation over to my colleague, Stefan Robila, who will discuss the proposal preparation aspects. Stefan, thank you.
I started talking and of course I forgot to unmute. This is probably the number one Zoom problem. So thank you very much, Amy, and thank you to everybody that joined us. What I plan to do for the next several slides is to talk about specifics related to the CSSI proposals and what are the characteristics of CSSI proposals in terms of the submission mechanism. I would mention that as with any NSF solicitation and any NSF funding opportunity, the guiding document for the proposal and award process is the Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, or PAPPG in short. At this moment, the 20-1 is the current version and you have a link for it. And what we are discussing is not how to submit a proposal to NSF, but what are the specific things in addition to that information that apply to CSSI. So when you prepare the proposal, one of the things that you'll have to choose is a unit of consideration. And after you select the opportunity 20-592, and after you select OAC, you will be asked for the division or for unit of consideration. And in this case, it will be software institutes. Then the other thing that we ask that you consider, and we expected, in fact, for the proposals, is to start the title of the proposal with the elements or frameworks to allow us to sort the among the proposals in the two categories. So if you intend to submit a proposal that is under the elements category, in that case, your title should be elements colon my project title. And if it's a frameworks and whatever project title you can choose. The next thing relates to the project description. And if you're looking at PAPPG, you'll find specific guidance and the length, and nothing is changed in CSSI. However, I would mention that as part of the project description, you are asked to explicitly address several things. And these are related to the solicitation specific criteria. And we have an 8 of them, and we group them in 3 sub-teams, project motivation and impact, cyber infrastructure plans, and measurable outcomes. And you have the criteria as listed in parentheses for each of these 3 themes, and I will discuss them later when I'm discussing the CSSI specific criteria. So you must explicitly discuss also what directorates, what programs, what divisions or offices the proposal is aligned. This would allow us to understand which of our colleagues will participate in the evaluation of the project, and also it allows the reviewers to evaluate if indeed this is a responsive to a specific programmatic area of interest. Another important aspect that should be discussed as part of the project description relates to your prior support. And in particular, if you have received prior CSSI awards, and this includes also awards under the solicitations that came before CSSI, such as SI2 or DIBS, Software Innovation for Scientific Data Innovation Building Blocks. Then you should discuss the results in terms of community engagement, in terms of the outcome of the CI building process. And those are things that the reviewers are looking carefully, and those are things that we are also interested in learning, because we are also trying to learn how to build the program further. We do not suggest where to put this description, but you can obviously also put it as part of the results from prior NSF support with the note that in some cases, this may not be aligned with the PAPPG. So in that case, follow PAPPG. In addition to the project description, CSSI includes a set of requirements for supplementary documents. And the first one is the delivery mechanism and community usage metrics. And this is a document that is limited to 2 pages. And this should include information about the deliverables and in terms of what specifically are you trying to build or are you trying to deliver, and how exactly will this be delivered to a community of scientists, of researchers. We do not prescribe a delivery mechanism. We do not prescribe a type of mechanism, except that we expect it to be a software or data cyber infrastructure or service. We expect it to be able to reach out to the community, and we expect this process to be as diverse and as inclusive as possible. And the other aspect that should be discussed as part of this supplementary document is related to metrics. The project must clearly articulate quantifiable metrics for development and delivery of the services and capabilities to be delivered by the project and for the anticipated community adoption usage. And I would emphasize here, it's the metrics should be focused on both development and delivery. And they should be, again, accompanied by targets, by clear things that would allow us and the reviewers to understand whether you will be successful in terms of the CI development and delivery and community engagement. A second supplementary document relates to the management and the coordination plan. And this is specific to frameworks. It is not required, and we do not accept it for elements. And in this case, because these projects are much larger, we expect to see a document limited to 3 pages that describes the specific roles of the PI, co-PIs, and other senior personnel and paid consultants and all the institutions involved, how the project will be managed across institutions and disciplines. We expect this document to identify the specific coordination mechanisms that will enable cross-institution and cross-discipline scientific integration, and also pointers, where appropriate, to budget items that support the management and coordination mechanisms. Another document that you may include is the cloud computing resource. And I say may include because it depends if your project includes cloud request allocations. And this is specific to one type of allocation, the one that goes through CloudBank. And if you are looking at the solicitation, you would see that NSF obviously allows it to include cloud services as part of your request. But CloudBank is a mechanism that makes it a little bit streamlined compared to just going through your institution. And if you use CloudBank, then you would have to provide this document that includes the title of the proposal, the institution name, the anticipated total cost of the computing resources, which public cloud providers will be used, and a technical description and justification of the request, along with how the cost will be estimated. I would like to emphasize the fact that the NSF budget should not include any such cost for accessing public cloud computing resources via cloudbank.org in the budget, right? So the budget should not be including this part. This part is separate, and this part will be processed separately. The total cost of the project, including this cloud computing resource request from CloudBank, may not exceed the budget limits for the project class of the proposal. And just to avoid confusion, we put a separate slide on this, and it pretty much says the same thing, right? That if, let's say, if you go to cloudbank.org and you look at the frequently asked questions, you'll get an explanation how this can be used. And you also, you'll get an explanation how the estimated costs are done. But those costs are not, again, to be included in your budget, in the NSF budget request. However, those costs should be subtracted from the total project cost. So for example, consider a proposal submitted to the elements class, which has a total proposal budget limit of 600,000. If a PI wishes to request $20,000 in cloud computing resources through CloudBank, then the proposal should request as part of the proposal budget no more than 580,000, and the remaining 20,000 should be specified in the supplementary document. And this applies to collaborative projects also, right? So that when we are looking at budgets for an elements project proposal, we are looking at the overall budget for the entire project across all collaboratives. So again, the HPI may request cloud computing resources separately through independent supplementary documents, as long as the total budget on the budget pages plus in the supplementary documents does not exceed 600,000. Please read the solicitation carefully. Other supplementary documents, as we expect in many NSF proposals, letters of collaboration should follow this specific language, the one that is listed in PPPG. And more importantly, and the project personnel and partner institutions document is unique to CSSI, or at least this is not part of the regular PPPG requirements. And we ask that as a PI, you provide current accurate information for all personnel and institutions involved in the project. And this is important for all personnel, whether they are paid or unpaid, and whether they have simply provided a collaboration letter, right? It should include all PIs, co-PIs, senior personnel, consultants, collaborators, sub-awardees, postdocs, advisory committee members, and writers of letters of collaboration. Okay, so I think that the only thing missing here are the undergraduate and graduate students, but everybody else that is on the project or is planned to be on the project, paid or unpaid, should be on this list. And why do we need this information? We use this information in the merit review process to manage conflicts of interest. Again, please see the solicitation. So, in terms of the review process, as for all proposals received by NSF, CSSI reviewers and panelists will be asked to consider the intellectual merit and broader impact for each proposal for the reviews, panel discussions, and panel summaries. In addition to these standards criteria, CSSI reviewers and panelists will also be asked to consider additional review criteria that are unique to the CSSI program. Now, we will not go over the intellectual merit and broader impact because there are ample opportunities provided by NSF to explain how these are evaluated as part of the review process. I will focus on the CSSI specific criteria. In terms of these criteria, the proposals will be evaluated on 8 criteria, and they are grouped under 3 themes. Project motivation and impact, cyber infrastructure plans, and measurable outcomes. And the reviewers will be asked to explicitly evaluate the proposal from the point of view of these 3 themes and the individual criteria. And more importantly, as you remember in the project description, as PIs, you are asked, and as proposers, you are asked to explicitly address these aspects under these 8 criteria. In terms of the project motivation and impact, we ask that you consider 2 aspects. We expect each project to be science-driven. We expect the project outcomes to fill well-recognized science and engineering needs of the research community and advanced research capability within a significant area of science and engineering. We expect the proposers to be able to provide answers to what are the broader impacts of the project, such as benefits to the science and engineering communities beyond the initial targets, how would underrepresented communities be involved, what is the impact on education and workforce development, what well-recognized science outcomes will be accomplished by the research community through the leveraging of the new cyber infrastructure. So this is one aspect. But the other aspect is innovation, and that relates to 2 things, right? So how does the project achieve innovation in the cyber infrastructure development and use, as well as enable research innovation? So this is one of my favorite parts, in which we say that the CSSI looks at innovation from 2 points of view, from the point of view of innovation within the scientific areas that the cyber infrastructure will serve, and also from the point of view of how you build a new cyber infrastructure. What new capabilities, what new transformational approaches will the project bring to the target communities, and how will it integrate the innovation and discovery into project activities? So this is the first theme. The second theme is measurable outcomes and cyber infrastructure plans. And with respect to the cyber infrastructure plans, we are looking at 3 criteria: project plans, building on existing recognized capabilities, and close collaboration among stakeholders. In terms of the project plans and system and process architecture, the questions that we would ask the reviewers to consider and the questions that we would expect the proposers to include in project description are things such as what is the proposed architecture and what engineering process will be used for its design, development, documentation, testing, validation, and release. How will security, trustworthiness, provenance, reproducibility, and usability be addressed by the project and integrated into the proposed system and the engineering processes? How will the CI be adaptable to new technologies and changing requirements? In terms of building on existing recognized capabilities, if you are looking at NSF, and in particular, if you're looking at OAC, you'll see that we have a large number of projects and we are supporting a large and diverse ecosystem, cyber infrastructure ecosystem. So we are always interested in how the new cyber infrastructure integrates into the larger system, how will the project activities build on and leverage existing NSF and national cyber infrastructure investments as appropriate. So you don't have to do it, but you have to discuss how this is connected to the state of the art and to the state of the systems. And a close collaboration among stakeholders is an important aspect, because how will the project activities engage cyber infrastructure experts, specialists, scientists, and engineers working together, working in concert with relevant domain scientists and engineers who are users of CI, right? So you have to have projects that combine both CI expertise and scientific expertise. And as part of this, simply putting people together is not sufficient. You have to discuss also how the project, including the collaboration, will be managed, and what are the community engagement mechanisms. So beyond the core team of people in the project, how will this be expanded to a larger community? Finally, the third theme, the measurable outcomes, is focused on deliverables, right? So is it a clear plan to how to deliver the services and capabilities? How will they be delivered? Are these plans accompanied by clear metrics, right, on how the CI will be built, and are there targets in the build process, and also targets and metrics for the delivery process for the services and capabilities and for the anticipated community adoption and usage? Are quantitative metrics with targets identified for each year of the award? And finally, the last criteria relates to sustain and sustainable impacts. And we acknowledge that there might be different levels of sustain and sustainability for, you know, when you're looking at elements versus frameworks, you know, appropriate with the budget sizes and the length of the projects. But we are interested, and we expect proposers to discuss how will the project's outcomes and its activities have long-term impacts. That's one. And how will they be sustained beyond the lifetime of the award as appropriate? Are there sustainability approaches following well-established models? And as with every of these criteria, I know that many of you may have questions of how do I do one thing or how do I do the other thing? And we go back and note that we do not prescribe mechanisms, and we refer to community practices in each of these categories. I think this is the last slide before we focus on the questions and answers, but I would like to point out that the deadline for this solicitation is October 28, 2020. And as I remember, as a PI before joining NSF, one of the questions that I had was, when, after I submit a proposal, when do I find out the outcome? So what we plan to do is, after we receive and close the submission window, is to process the proposals and review them in early 2021. And also expect, maybe by the end of the spring, to have an outcome in terms of the awards. And so most of the proposals probably will have an outcome by the end of the spring. I think that this concludes the formal portion of the webinar presentation. And probably the most important thing now is the fact that we continue, and I noticed that we have a vibrant engagement with the you, the attendees, through the Q&As, and we urge you to continue doing that via the Zoom question and answers. If you had the chance to look at the solicitation, you might have noticed an email address that is posted several places, and that's cssiqueries@nsf.gov. We encourage you to use the Zoom Q&A for the webinar, and we continue to monitor the CSSI queries after the webinar and will respond as appropriate.
Great job, Stefan. Thank you very much. One of the things, as we start to speak to questions, there are a pair of questions in the Q&A that seem to be related, and they're probably one of the toughest questions we'll have to answer. Can I read them out and then have, can we start there? So here's the first of the two questions. What is considered innovative in the CSSI context? Can this be in contrast to what size, meaning the computer science directorate reviewers would be innovative, as opposed to incremental? So that's a first question. And the second one a little later is, how much will computer science innovation count in addition to science discovery, enablement or magnification, and cyber infrastructure innovation? So in summary, it's the whole issue of what is innovation and what is the balance between science innovation and cyber infrastructure or computer science innovation. Do you want to start that question set, Stefan?
I would like to pick up one of my colleagues to answer the questions. Well, I would first say that as a computer scientist, there is innovation in computer science, right? So you have to be very careful in defining computer science innovation. If you are defining research innovation in computer science, then size as a directorate participates as any other directorate. I know that because OAC is part of the computer information science and engineering, or SAIS, we seem to play a dual role. We play the central role in the solicitation or the management role, but we also play the role of enabling development of cyber infrastructure for SAIS research, for computer science research, right? So I would not say that we are looking for, I mean, as with any other discipline, we are looking for innovation in sciences and in computer sciences. But I think that maybe the question relates to innovation in cyber infrastructure, right? In cyber infrastructure development compared to simply computer science innovation. And in those cases, it might not be exactly the same thing. It might be focused more on software engineering specifically. It might focus more on data engineering than simply saying computer science. And as I mentioned in the slides, there is a balance between innovation in two aspects. What does it mean, innovation from the point of view of science? Well, if there is a problem that is currently faced by the scientists within a specific scientific community, and the development and availability of this cyber infrastructure would allow that community to overcome that challenge, to solve that problem, then this is innovation from the point of view of science, right? So it will enable innovation in sciences. Similarly, we are the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. We are looking for ways in which cyber infrastructure can serve better communities, in which it can be developed in more innovative ways. And we are looking at innovation and community engagement also in the way in which we engage the scientific community, but also in terms of engaging the future scientists. So training is not the focus of the solicitation, but it could partially be part of it if it is aligned with appropriately with the main program. So I'm not sure if I answered the question very well, but the idea is to remember that you are discussing it from both aspects.
Very, very nice, Stefan. Thank you for that. There's another sort of organizational question that came up. How does your office, and I assume that means the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, interact with the other NSF divisions, and what do they do? And so, Daryl, come off mute. You might be asked to answer some of that as well, but maybe I'll start by taking a little of the start. Is that the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure works with all the various directorates and the divisions within those directorates to try and identify important investments in advanced cyber infrastructure that will help those communities answer their scientific and engineering questions. And so if you go and take a look at the solicitation, again, NSF 20-592, you click on that and you will get a full electronic copy of the solicitation. You will see that there's a section that talks about responsible program officers. And several of us are in the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, but many of them, there's a couple dozen program officers, and they're throughout the foundation, are working with us because they know what kinds of problems they have in advanced materials or advanced manufacturing or new computer science techniques, or geosciences or social sciences. And so we work with all of the different communities. And so if you are coming from one of those communities, be sure and take a look at that list of people that are our points of contact throughout the foundation. We meet with them regularly. They helped us develop the solicitation and helped prepare the list of key topics that they are interested in seeing from those various directorates. And again, as you start to try and put something together that would be measurable improvements to cyber infrastructure in those areas, put together your one-page thoughts on that process and speak to and interact with the various organizations that your technique or capability would benefit. And so again, those people are on, those two dozen people are on that list of shown in the solicitation. Let me ask either Daryl, because I think you're on, or any of my colleagues, if there's more that you'd like to add to that answer.
I'll get in a little bit into the weeds in that we work pretty closely together. We develop the review panels so that there is appropriate expertise from a science or domain science point of view, as well as a cyber infrastructure point of view, computer science and so forth, are well represented and well able to evaluate the proposals. And we also work together to figure out how to fund the things that come to the top and
great.
So it's more of a process-oriented answer, but it gets to some of the nitty-gritty. We want to make sure that the right people look at things so you can appreciate what's going on.
Thank you very much, Darren. Mm-hmm. I'll pick up Amy on a question that I noticed, and I'm happy to see it because it points to one of the questions that we have prepared on the side. So I'll read the question and then I will quickly flip through my slide deck. So the deliverables and metrics are part of the CSSI specific criteria, but there is also a supplement document for this. Can these be listed only in the supplemental document, or they must be part of the main project description? So I will flip through some slides that I had after this current slide, and these slides will be available and they will be posted on the program page in case we do not see each of them throughout this webinar. But I will point to this particular thing that we already had prepared. And then that's, I think it is reflective of the same thing that was asked in the question. My short answer is you must discuss it in the project description, and this, how exactly do you discuss it is your choice. You can simply point to parts from the supplementary documents, but you have to explicitly include the sections in the project description that point to deliverables and metrics. So that's why we gave additional pages as supplementary documents for you to expand and discuss that, but still you cannot miss the headings, for example, in the project description.
Okay. Do you want to take a moment and just...
Because I think that my first prepared question and answer is very simple, right? It's basically reemphasizing a very important aspect that you really have to remember that you can't be part of two proposals if you are serving as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel. If you do that, then beyond the first proposal received, the other proposals will be returned without review. And that will be obviously a sad situation for you, for your colleagues, for all the work you have put already. And there's a mechanism in which we evaluate which proposals was received first. Obviously, if it's a single proposal with no collaboratives, it's easy, whichever in terms of the timing. If it is a collaborative proposal, we look at the last proposal that made the project whole. And that is the date in which the time stamp for which the entire project was received. So.
Okay. Another live, it probably makes sense to answer live. Do you recommend discussing proposal ideas with both domain NSF program officers and OAC program officers? We can identify appropriate domain program officers, but how do we identify the appropriate OAC program officers?
Well, there are two questions, right? So we urge you to discuss the projects with the domain-specific program officers. And as Daryl has mentioned, we work very closely. And from at least my personal point of view, I think that the vast majority of questions that have reached one of our colleagues outside of OSCE eventually were also shared with us. So we are aware of queries that were sent to our colleagues. We also have that common email address, CSSI queries, that if you send an email to us and you indicated you want to talk, let's say, to a colleague in another division or directorate, we will route it to them and we'll continue being connected to the conversation. In terms of who in OSCE should you contact, you have the people on this call. You have Amy Walton, Steph Arobila, Alan Sussman, Tefi Kosar, and Robert Beverly. And in case you forget our names, you simply send us an email to cssiqueries@nsf.gov.
Another question is just where can I find a list of existing or recognized infrastructures already supported by NSF to build from? Most of the links this person had looked up just sent to general program solicitation sites. And then there's a related question. Are there open source repositories such as GitHub made prior by prior CSS ORDs, are those considered to be NSF supported infrastructure? Must we leverage CSSI infrastructure instead of building something new from scratch? Those are sort of three interlinked questions. Is that it's the whole what do we leverage?
So if I would provide a general answer for the first part of the first question, I would say that if you go to NSF and you search for anything on the awards, you can find more information about what was supported by NSF. So while we talk about CSSI in this webinar, I would mention that NSF has many programs that ended up supporting cyber infrastructure. Many of them are managed by OSCE, but some of them are managed by other divisions. So, and something that maybe I went too fast, we are not talking only about cyber infrastructure that was supported or enabled by NSF. We are talking about cyber infrastructure that enables science. And this could be even done by other government agencies or by other organizations. So again, we are not narrowing ourselves to only OSCE supported cyber infrastructure. In terms of specific cyber infrastructure that is enabled by CSSI or its prior the programs that preceded CSSI, if you go to the program page, there is a link that says what was funded before. I acknowledge that link currently doesn't provide you with the right information, and we are aware of that, and we will hopefully correct it soon. It's just that right now it shows every possible award. I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
Do they need to build on prior CSSI? What about GitHub, where that has been a repository for prior activities? Must we leverage these particular things instead of building something new if there's a new component that they'd like to suggest?
Go ahead, Daryl.
What I would like to say is that we expect you to leverage existing cyber infrastructure to help you get the word out and to connect to the community so other people can find the thing that you just made and to be able to utilize the cyber infrastructure you're working on. So it's not compacted to just one narrow area of people who've created them. So GitHub works. And it's, you know, you need some common sense of what your community looks at and what it where it expects to find things.
And I would say that you don't have to build on other cyber infrastructure. It really depends on the project, right? If it makes sense, if it is appropriate. But as you know, in any scientific endeavor, the question is you have to be aware of what is out there and what is the state of the art, right? So, and what can you leverage in order to go further? You don't have to always start from scratch. But in some cases, you may have to start from scratch. And as long as the argument is made appropriately, then that's absolutely fine.
And of course, you have to defend why you're building this.
Yes.
How it fits in the broader context. Is it better than something that already exists? How? Why?
Bill, if you can hear us, maybe that would be a good time for us to take a 1 minute break, not to disconnect. But I noticed my colleague, Bill Miller, has joined us, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce him. He's the Deputy Office Director for the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. And I think that would be great if you could say a few words.
Thank you, Stefan. Actually, my first words should be to introduce Amy Friedlander, who is the acting office director. And I can't see from my screen. She's on.
She's just so now signing on.
I will execute protocol to allow Amy to say a few words first. And anyway, I'm very happy. I was able to follow a little bit of the previous questioning. I know everybody's very interested in understanding the program. So let me let Amy say a few words.
Good afternoon. And I see we have 500 participants on this. So I'm delighted to see a robust response. I hope that means a robust response and not that our solicitation was perhaps less than crystal clear. Many thanks to all of the program officers who bring the CSSI solicitation to you. I'm sure you're aware that this is an NSF-wide effort that is led by OAC, and it reflects both the role of OAC within the foundation and more largely in the unclassified research community, but also I think the breadth of the software and data, and in particular, the integrated vision that OAC is trying to advance. So it's a great pleasure to welcome you all 10 minutes before the end of your hour. And if there are any questions for me, either as the acting director of the office or in a role I share with Bill as the conflicts officer, please, let's see, what is your protocol, Amy? Are you putting them in the chat or how is that being handled?
So there is a question and answer, and you as a co-presenter, you can see the questions and answers. They keep coming and I'm basically saying a lot of them have been answered, but I basically have not answered any of them directly. Our colleagues have done an excellent job continuing to keep the queue as manageable as it can be.
So I'm scanning through them.
And I will answer a question related to the availability of the materials. Yes, a recording of this webinar will be available. Yes, the slides will be made available on the program page. I expect a few days after this event.
Well, I'm delighted to see there seem to be no questions about conflict of interest. So,
there is one about industry involvement. Are there limitations imposed by the program in the way the cyber infrastructure developed can be subsequently funded? For example, commercial. And also, for example, the CI generates revenue through software as a service that is reinvested in the maintenance and additional development of the cyber infrastructure. So looking for innovative ways to sustain and maintain any developments under CSSI, I think is the question.
So as a matter of policy, NSF does not require open access. We do encourage broad data sharing and sharing of software, however, and I think that in answer to your question, that is not prohibited. I believe at the solicitation level, is that correct, Stefan? You have not instituted, Stefan, Amy, Tefik. So there's no specific prohibition, and it is certainly not prohibited at the NSF level. That said, you do know that we have a policy on sharing of results, particularly in pre-competitive basic research. I think that any plans for use of data that carry or software that carries restrictions, and this is not uncommon, should be disclosed either in the your data management plan or in your research plan insofar as this affects the disposition, the way you will go about your research and the disposition of any products of that research. Does that answer the question?
Thank you, Amy. And to be clear on the CSSI side, on this program side, no, we do not have any restrictions beyond the NSF policy.
And one person had also, because it's new, and I'm sure that it's, you know, you're asking, how does it fit in? There seems to be a bias in the community about using cloud-based computing resources versus Succeed supercomputing resources with respect to innovation. Will these expectations be explicitly discussed with the panel in the review process? So just the use of cloud-based computing versus other resources. Stefan, do you want to take that up again?
I would push back and say I don't think there is a bias between one versus the other. I would, however, caution you to look at the proposal and whether you need cloud resources or you expect to have allocation through one of the leadership class computing mechanisms. This really depends on the type of project that you propose, whether it makes sense to have those resources or not. And that is part of the merit review process. So we discuss bias in our review process. We discuss it with our panelists and we discuss bias in many aspects, including the type of proposals, the types of institutions, the type of research that is proposed, the type of development that is proposed. So be assured that we do that in a very thorough fashion. But in my perspective, there's not such a bias. At least I have not observed such bias in the review process being discussed. The opinion, the evaluation of the panelists may be different than your opinion about the process. You have to be very careful, however, when you propose the development of cyber infrastructure to look how to understand and explain how the cyber infrastructure would remain sustainable or has the potential of becoming sustainable or will survive the funding and if you have enough mechanisms to do that, and if you're relying on specific allocations, then you have to be careful on how those allocations will be sustained at the end of the project.
So I'd just like to reinforce this question of cloud versus other platforms. We are actually encouraging a heterogeneous set of resources to enable computationally intensive research. So just let me underline the point that Stefan was making at the policy level for the office, is that we are interested in, if you will, the research ending up at the right place and understanding what that is. So different kinds of problems require different kinds of computational resources, different kinds of data sources, different kinds of software. And that is what we look for at the office level. I'm not speaking for the program officers here, but I would just like to reinforce Stefan's point, is that we do not have a bias toward or away from cloud. It is another set of services that we're interested in seeing how they can be utilized to advance research.
Thank you. So let's see. Alan, Tefik, other questions we can pick up? So I see a question related to, is it possible to include the available compute resources PI has under Exceed or with some other agency as part of the proposal? I'm not sure. You can include anything you want as part of the proposal, but the question is what you're requesting NSF to do in terms of, you know, the what to fund. You can request an allocation as part of that. Am I right, Amy? It doesn't have to be after?
Actually, it depends on which system. Generally, I believe, I think I'm the authority here. If you're requesting an allocation on Exceed, we do, I believe, expect you to have a funded research project
okay.
in hand. So we separate the request for an allocation from the evaluation of the research that you choose to do.
Thank you.
So Stefan, there's a good question here about CSSI supporting development of CI that has translational applications in a clinical environment may be sustained and utilized by clinical researchers or clinicians. So I think the key here is that NSF in general doesn't support clinical research, right? That's, so this is not a CSSI specific thing, but that's typically supported by NIH. But translational research, that's something that we definitely, that CSSI supports. It's just the clinical part is not NSF.
Right. And I would say that you are asking us a question that is also better answered by our colleagues in specific divisions and directorates to evaluate whether the research that will be enabled by this new cyber infrastructure will be valuable to the research community in that area. And that's why that I totally agree, Alan. It's the question is what type of research is supported by NSF, and that's why we are relying on our colleagues in other divisions to provide a specific answer. And if you have a specific question, just send it to us and describe it, and you'll get a very specific answer. I see a question related to a proposal that was submitted to another program, I believe CDSNE, and the funding is not enough to cover the CIA development. Can I submit an updated version to CSSI? This is particularly for the support of a high-level postdoc to work on the CI. You can't submit a proposal twice, and you have to be careful with being paid twice to do the same work. Please remember that this is not simply just building something in addition to your current research. CSSI, as many of our colleagues that have been awarded these awards in CSSI and the previous programs, requires you to dedicate a significant amount of time in developing a tool and then supporting the tool and bringing it to the community, engaging it with the community. So I would be very careful in simply saying, can I do something else? Yes, you can do something else, but this is not simply just updating a previous proposal to do something else. CSSI focuses on development and rather than research.
And there's a there's another question that has a similar flavor about, is there a restriction in timeline for resubmission after our first submissions reviews are out if a proposal is unsuccessful? Do you need to wait a full 1 year? And here again, you cannot resubmit the same proposal a second time, even if it's rejected. It has to be a new proposal substantially. It has to have substantial differences from the original proposal. That's a general NSF rule.
Right. With respect to, you see the deadline on October 28. If you have submitted to the previous solicitation, you are welcome to submit to this solicitation. There is no restriction from one deadline to another.
There's another one here on about data collection. So would intelligent data collection, sampling, and sensing systems be considered cyber infrastructures that are interesting to the program, to CSSI program? So we've had things like this come up before. So Stefan, maybe you can address this.
I would like to pass it to somebody else, but I would say we had significant discussions among our colleagues, and the short answer is simply data collection is not the focus of CSSI. However, if data collection is part of the development of the cyber infrastructure, and again, I realize that in some cases, data cyber infrastructure could be seen like a database. That's not what we're looking at here. We are looking at ways in which we provide services for accessing the data, in which these services would enable further scientific advances. Right. If in the process of developing the cyber infrastructure, you are also building up a data, again, if that is not the main focus, then that may be aligned with CSSI. So it's simply just, you have to be very clear on what exactly you are doing. And this may also be discipline specific or scientific areas specific from one directorate to another.
I think the best answer to such questions is you can send us a one-page white paper and we can give you more specific advice regarding your proposal idea. There are a couple of questions about when the video will be available and how the community will be notified about that. Stefan, what is the timeline on that? Do you have some idea?
So we are trying to do these things as quickly as possible. We do have a list, and if you provided the correct email addresses, we can certainly send you an email, but we cannot promise that. If you discover that 2 weeks later the video is still not available, just let us know and we'll continue to do the inquiries. But we hope to do this as soon as possible.
And there is another question about whether an industrial partner can get a subcontract. I think the answer is yes, as long as it is justified.
Thank you, Tefik. So that gives me the chance to go through one more of our pre-designed frequently asked questions.
Okay.
Right. So yes, rightfully so, we encourage partnerships, we encourage collaboration across academia, but from academia and between academia and other partner with other partners. But please note that industrial partners cannot submit proposals. They can participate in various mechanisms. They can be PIs and co-PIs if the institution allows them, right? They can get a sub-award if that's appropriate. But again, the goal here is if it's appropriate to the project, you have mechanisms to do that. And you have some options listed here. I see an interesting question. Let me pick it up. I see a question that is asking how many stakeholders is a project, an Elements project, expected to have for it to be impactful? I'm sorry to be blunt. I have no idea how many stakeholders, because this is extremely dependent on the community that your cyber infrastructure will serve. If it's a large cyber community, then you may talk about thousands. If it's a small one, you may be talking about 100. If you're talking about all the laboratories that focus their research on a specific area, there may be a handful. You may count them. If you're talking about the NSF-funded supercomputers by developing a new software library, then you're probably talking, I don't know, between 1 and 10 at most. So the number is not important. The question is the are the stakeholders representative and engaged enough with the community that you are trying to target? And that's again, that's a review question also in terms of how would the panelists agree with your estimate that you are engaging a representative community? Okay, so let's see. I see another question. I think it's a logistics question related to Elements versus frameworks. In comparing Elements to frameworks, what is a small group? How many people typically? You have to look at the budgets first, right? And realize how many people can you support with the annual budget for an Elements versus how many people can you support with the budget for the frameworks. But it is, again, up to the project that you're trying to develop. If, however, you have a framework that has a single PI and no other clear collaborators, then that would be a questionable framework, because it's not clear if a single person can develop a large project and also engage with the community. And similarly, even for an Elements, even if it's a single PI, you would expect to have very strong collaborators, paid or unpaid, with clear ways to collaborate that would bring it up to fruition. I see a question that is aligned perfectly with what I display on the screen. Can consulting funds go to an international partner? My short answer is please go and read the PAPPG. Somewhere there, you will see in terms of who can receive NSF funding, a very clear statement that says that NSF rarely provides funding support for foreign organizations or individuals. And NSF will consider proposals for cooperative projects involving US and foreign organizations as long as the support for the foreign organizations is provided by some other parts and not by NSF. If you have a very specific idea or a very specific plan on why the international partners should be involved and supported, please send us, again, as our colleagues already said, a description, and we'll try to provide a more detailed answer.
So I've spent a couple of places people asking about this idea of building on existing recognized capabilities, and then people are asking where can you find a list of previous cyber infrastructure supported by NSF. And for that, really, we point people at the award search capabilities on the NSF website, where you can look at all existing awards by keyword, by program, by all sorts of different ways, current and past awards. It goes back, I think, pretty far. So that's the best way to find out what NSF has supported in the past. But it doesn't have to be NSF-supported cyber infrastructure. So it could be capabilities that were developed elsewhere that you're building on. So that's why it's hard to say, but really this talks about not starting from scratch, right? That there's existing research, there's existing maybe software and tools, data infrastructure. So that's really the key when we talk about building on existing recognized capabilities.
And I think this is also where it is important to have a clear understanding from both sides, from the cyber infrastructure point of view of things, you know, in terms of what type of software libraries are available, even if not necessarily within your scientific domain, but what other types of data environments are available, but also what exactly is used currently within the specific scientific domain that your new cyber infrastructure or your proposed cyber infrastructure will target. And again, here it's important to have expertise both from the domain and also from the cyber infrastructure. You may have a very good understanding of what you have in your domain, and then you may not realize that the solution you are proposing is very similar to what may be available in a closely related domain. I see a question about a percentage. Are there any constraints on the percentage of budget allowed for procuring the software and hardware to build cyber infrastructure? We do not have a hard percentage, but I would like to emphasize that the focus of this solicitation is the development of data and software cyber infrastructure, not the acquisition of hardware. And again, if let's imagine that a proposal would mostly request support for acquisition of hardware, the reviewers would question what exactly you're trying to develop. One, two, how exactly will this be sustained when the hardware is obsolete? So you have to consider the implications of requesting hardware and the level of request as part of this solicitation.
There are a couple of questions regarding the compute resources to be used in the proposals, and especially whether they can use Exceed or not. And the answer is yes. The proposals can use national resources such as Exceed or OSG, but the allocation process for those resources are different. Basically, you cannot assume you will have access to those resources. You need to go and apply for cycles in those resources as a separate process.
So I see a question that I think it's very relevant to many of the participants. Our proposed cyber infrastructure could benefit multiple domains. And the question is contacting specific stakeholder science program directors with one page abstract to make sure they're interested encouraged? If they're not interested, should we reconsider the stakeholders? So the first part of the question, should you contact multiple stakeholders? Yes, but you have a better solution. You can just send the one page abstract to CSSI queries and suggest who should be contacted, and we can coordinate that for you. Second, if the answer from some of these stakeholders, from our colleagues in some areas of interest, is that they are not interested in that, then you have to consider why you're trying to target those communities, because most likely there is no interest within those communities, or at least the feedback that you receive is that there may be limited interest. So you have to consider, again, how to structure your project so that it is responsive to the programmatic areas of interest. There's also logistics questions in terms of should framework proposals have a steering committee to ensure that the project is meeting goals for the domain scientists? Can you give us examples of ways to show strong connections? I personally do not provide guidance on how to write the proposals, and suggesting that you should include or not include it if it's not listed in solicitation is a guidance on how to write the proposal. My simple answer, and I would invite colleagues maybe if they want to provide more refinement, is that if you think it's appropriate to have a steering committee, then you have to have a steering committee. If not, not. But really, it's not my place to comment whether that would improve your proposal or not. And then I see another one related to how important the management skills of the PIs are to this proposal. We have a very accomplished PI, but not known for management skills. Should we have a manager be the PI instead of the genius be a co-PI? It is, again, a team-related question, and you have to figure out how to form your team. If I assume it's a team because you're talking at least about two people. And how will this be successful? Yes, coordinating multiple groups across multiple institutions, as it is often the case for our frameworks and even some of the elements, is a difficult task and requires effort and requires time and patience. So you point to an important aspect of project management, but that's again another thing that we all discover as PIs at one point, as many of us have been researchers and faculty before joining NSF.
So Stefan, we're at 3:15.
So we will take 10 more minutes for questions and then we'll wrap up. I was assured by our colleagues that have provided an excellent support for this webinar that we will not be cut off. So we'll try to answer as many questions as possible, knowing that whatever is left, we'll have to answer them by email. I would rather do that live.
There's a question asking whether the resources or the CI created by these projects need to be provided free to anyone in the public domain, or can they be offered only to the institutions that they are serving? Of course, if the created CI can be offered to anyone by free, that would be great, but that's not really a requirement. So the expectation is whatever community the proposal is proposing to serve, the resources should be prior to available to those communities, mostly.
Thank you. I see a question that is relatively short. It's asking about what type of artificial intelligence machine learning work fits in. My answer is whatever it is appropriate for the specific cyber infrastructure and for the specific programmatic areas that your project will target. I see a very interesting question related to software sustainability and the connection to the evolving hardware. So software sustainability is intrinsically linked to the evolution in and proliferation of hardware. Does the review process place emphasis on projections of hardware trends and the factoring of these in discussing sustainability? Sustainability of the software, sustainability of data cyber infrastructure is connected. We agree to the evolution of hardware. Is it placed an emphasis? It is discussed as part of that, right? So the idea is that if your cyber infrastructure targets a specific configuration that we know it has become obsolete, clearly the reviewers will point it to it. But they do not necessarily make speculative assumptions for the future unless it is based on known evolutions or known facts. Is the development of software for integrating data models and analysis tools for a specific science using standard CI approaches appropriate for CSSI call? What do you think, Alan or Tefik? Robert?
find that question.
257. So you don't have to innovate cyber infrastructure development for cyber infrastructure development's sake. If you know, you have to use proven software development techniques, proven data engineering techniques, or and as part of this. So as long as that enables discovery, again, there are multiple ways to discuss innovation in terms of the CI, and that could be even engagement of the communities engaged in terms of delivery, and not just by building new CI for the CI sake.
Right, and it can be for a specific scientific or engineering domain.
Right.
That's okay, as long as there's a reason, you know, a community of users that cares.
And in fact, many of our words end up being for very specific domains.
Right. It both ways. It can be from single domain, or it can be from multiple domains. Both of those are legitimate targets.
There are also complementary programs at NSF for data integration. For example, we have a CSER program which focuses on integration of existing CI components. It is called Data CI Pilots CSER program. So we can recommend the potential proposals to consider such complementary programs first.
So, Stefan, there was a question here about whether a view toward broader impact and sustainability and community building, is it appropriate to include training and outreach as part of a CSSI project?
Yes.
And the answer there, that's a pretty straightforward yes, that's part of community outreach and broader impacts. That would be definitely showing broader impacts and also sustainability, for sure.
But that, again, I would like to point that this is part of the review process. So you have to articulate how you will do it, and you have to have realistic plans. And if this requires budgetary support, that has to be included. So people not believe that you'll travel around, not in these times, but in other times, and engage the community if you have no money to travel.
That's right. So the budget has to be commensurate with the proposed activities. That's
I also see some questions related to a specific programmatic area of interest, and I will point to one related to EHR, in which there is a very specific question if EHR would support something or not. I would encourage you, if you have that specific question, to contact the representative from that specific directorate or division, and you would get a more nuanced answer. Or if you cannot identify the person, then just send us an email to CSSI Queries, and we will route it to the right colleague. But we would not be able to provide a very nuanced answer, because again, most of the participants in the current call may not necessarily be interested in that specific aspect.
Right. There's a geoscience question that's also requires some help from somebody in geoscience.
Right. So we acknowledge those questions. The answer that solves the question is basically saying, contact us to CSSI, point us to the right division, and you can contact the persons directly also, but or we can route it for you if necessary. Okay, so we will stay up to 5 more minutes, and we'll try to go through some of the questions as we scroll up and down. As a reminder, if you have not had the chance to go through the slides, they will be posted. A recording will also be posted. You have our email address, cssiqueries@nsf.gov. And we will continue to monitor that email address. We're doing that daily, and we try to provide answers as quickly as possible. In some cases, the answer is not coming immediately or as soon as you expect, because we are routing it to additional colleagues to provide feedback. So. I see a question about software testing. How is software testing emphasized in the proposed cyber infrastructure? Do we need to have innovative ways in software testing? Again, I would note that you don't have to innovate you do not have to innovate in every possible aspect, right? It's wherever it is appropriate. You do not have to change the way software is being developed. just because you think that it should be innovative. This is not a software engineering research program. You have to focus on using established practices for the specific development effort. So yes, we expect software testing to be part of the process because it is a standard software engineering component. Must we show preliminary results or proven capabilities of our software to be considered for an award? There is a secondary question, would it increase the chance of an award? That's the second part that I will not answer. It is, again, dependent on the project. If you are, you have to use, you have to propose development based on methods and based on algorithms or based on previous results, right? So you cannot simply do the research that will lead to the algorithm and then implement the algorithm as part of CSSI. The research on the algorithm should have taken place somewhere else. So that's the part of the preliminary results. Do you have to have the software already built? The answer is no, it depends on what exactly you are doing. You can have a model, you can have a prototype, but it's not a requirement. As you go to frameworks, asking for a substantial amount of money for engagement of broad community, it becomes a more important question if something was done before and how do you know that this particular tool would be valuable and adopted by the community? Because we know that in some cases a valuable tool may not be adopted. So that's where the community engagement and mechanism to convince the users is, comes into place. If I send a one-page summary, what kind of feedback I can expect typically? In short, you can expect to get an answer that suggests that the type of work that you propose would be aligned or not aligned with CSSI. And in some cases, you may get additional feedback from colleagues that may state whether it is aligned with a specific discipline or programmatic area of interest. You may also get additional advice in terms of emphasizing specific things. We would not provide feedback on the merits of the proposal because that is reserved to the review process. I see one related to education and training components for the project. Again, that has to be appropriate for the community to be engaged. And if you are looking at the previous awards, you may see examples. And then if you are a scientist, then you have to consider how did you learn to use a specific tool and how did you switch from one environment to another and consider how successful those mechanisms were and then translate them in ways in which you would ensure that your cyber infrastructure would be adopted. So we are 3 minutes before 3:30 and we have been live for an hour and 27 minutes. We'll probably wrap up in 2 minutes and acknowledging that we still have a handful of questions. If we can answer them, we'll answer them by email once we get the list. So if you have submitted an anonymous question, we can't answer it because we don't know who to reply to. So Tafik, Alan, or Robert, do you spot any additional questions that we can quickly answer or?
So what about cyber physical infrastructure? There's one here, that's a very short question.
I saw it, it's just not clear to me how to answer.
So I think here the key is that, you know, that the hardware, any hardware components to the project, that this is not a hardware program, right? It's a software and data program really. So that, you know, there can be limited hardware as part of the project, but that it shouldn't be really focused very heavily on certainly paying for hardware as part of the project. Is that fair enough?
Okay. So I see questions again related to a specific domain such as CNS or IIS, and those are within computer information science and engineering or other disciplines. And the question is, can I seek support for development of cyber infrastructure that results from research in these areas? And the answer is yes, but the emphasis here is make sure that you understand you're not simply building it, but you are building it for a community, right? So you have to make sure that the community will be there to embrace it, to adopt it, and you have a mechanism to reach out to them. So simply just do not consider the solicitation as a way to promote your research further, because our expert reviewers will see through this approach, right? It has to be clear and clearly anchored in a need for specific scientific problems. So I think with that, I think that we have answered everything that we could. If we missed one, probably we'll reply directly by email.
Yeah, there's only a small number of questions mm-hmm. that are left that would be difficult to answer in this form.
I do see the last one that came in. Will the review give special considerations to the NSF underrepresented regions? The review reviews the merits of the proposals. NSF considers all aspects of the proposal of the PI team, of the institution, of the region, and it tries to have a balanced portfolio of awards and support. There are initiatives within NSF, such as the EPSCoR program, that emphasizes specific states in terms of the balancing the funding to these states, and those are avenues that we are always also working with. But the review process itself focuses on the merits. And that merit includes also the broader impact in terms of the engagement of various communities.
It's 3:30, Stefan.
I think we will wrap up. And again, as Amy noted, we have had over 500 attendees in the audience, and thank you for your patience, and thank you for putting up with us for an hour and a half. If you have additional questions, please send us to cssiqueries@nsf.gov with the note that if tomorrow morning we see 500 questions, it will not be possible for us to respond very quickly. So then bear with us. Thank you very much to everybody. Thank you very much, Amy and Bill and Robert and Tefik. And I think, Derek, we are ready to close the webinar. Do I close it or?
No, I can take care of that for you.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.